I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Born in Manhattan and raised in Yonkers, New York, while attending the NYU School of the Arts, he worked as an intern for The Howard Stern Show. He launched a stand-up career, becoming a regular at the famed Comedy Cellar and making appearances on all of the late-night talk shows. He's released numerous comedy albums and specials, and you can hear him on his Punchlines podcast. And this week, you can see him live on stage at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Mitch Fetell.
Oh, look at your hands, Matthew.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that you never age. Like, what are you doing?
Do I still look good? Yeah.
Yeah, you're eating children. Dude, look at him.
He and Mike, they go to lunch together and eat the souls.
You look pretty good yourself, though, man.
Well, don't make me love you.
You look pretty good.
Don't make me love you. Where's your better half?
Just taking care of our baby.
Ah,
we have a
right.
baby. Our life sucks. We have the suckiest life ever now. Life sucks.
You were having three ways of traveling the world.
Oh, my God. What did we do? What did we do?
Was this an accident? What happened? Like, did you
no,
need to
first
do this?
Of all, not only was it not an accident, but we planned it out. And so my wife put all her ovulation days on the calendar.
Right.
And then... And she said to me, so what I'm going to do is on those. We all have our thing. My thing is pink stockings. Love
right,
pink
that's
stockings.
Your thing, right.
Love it. So she said, on all the ovulation days, I'm going to wear pink stockings. And then that way it'll get you really, really excited.
Yeah.
So I was like, all my friends, it took them years to get their wives pregnant. So I was like, this is going to be years of pink stockings. And also like,
the best. Just, you should have got a vasectomy, not said anything.
And I don't even, I should have got a vasectomy. and I thought to myself, I don't even have to hold out or anything because I just have one job. I just have to give her my seed. That's it. This is just. So I was like, and first time out, boom, pink stockings went. I haven't seen pink stockings in 3 years. I don't know what they look like. I wear them every now and then just to remember what they look like.
That's God punishing you for all the great times you had.
But I got to tell you, what scared me is I didn't have time to long. Like I was really wanted a baby, but I didn't have time to long for it. Like, because people are like, well, you're excited.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you know when you order, takeout food and it takes, like, an hour to get there? And you start going, like, where is the food? And you want, and then you,
I really want this food.
And then the doorbell goes off. You have an orgasm. You're like, look at my lo mein. But this is almost like you order the lo mein and then your wife's like, look at my vagina. Lo mein. And you're like, you wouldn't want that lo mein. So I was like,
oh boy.
Almost happened too fast.
God, that's it is. But everything's healthy.
Kid is so amazing.
What's the kid's name?
Max.
Nice.
He's amazing.
That's a great name. Is it for Max Million or just Max?
Just Max. Right. Just good old Max.
That's a man's name.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
That's a good name. It's kind of, he had everything I would have wanted as a kid. He's got a cool name.
Yep.
He has a cool birthday, October 9th. I had December. When's your birthday?
August. So I had
that's
a good,
a good birthday.
Yeah, I had a good one. Yeah. December. He's not too close to Christmas. He's going to get two solid separate
December
holidays.
20th is my birthday. It's the worst birthday in the history. I've never gotten two gifts in my entire life. My whole life, it's always been like, here's socks for Christmas and your birthday.
Oh.
And pink stockings. So,
but he's, how old is he now? Two?
He's two years old, and I don't really remember because we didn't keep him. We gave him away.
I sold him. So, you got to sell him young before they get opinions. Thank you, by the way, for saying two, because the other day, my buddy, my dear buddy, China
24
Joe,
months, 26 months,
I'm like, how old's Lincoln now? And he's like, 18 months. I'm like, why couldn't you just say a year and a half, man? That's a year and a half. That's 12 and 6. That's even hiking to 18. That's
By the way, just for the record, Max can kick Lincoln's ass. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. Max is going to, you're going to take Max over Lincoln any day.
Oh, so good. Yeah. It's my buddy China Joe. And that was,
I remember China Joe.
Yeah. Well, because you were traveling in Thailand with your girl.
Yeah.
And we were in Vietnam. I'm like, hey, Mitch, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. Don't come around here. We're doing so dirty. You can't see what we're doing. I was like, oh, my.
Yeah. You're one of those guys that I run into every now and then. I'm like, that's a guy whose life I would trade. Like,
you've had
pretty good. You've sent me videos of you lighting off fireworks that take out entire villages.
It's only gotten worse, Mitch. Yeah. It really has only gotten worse. I own no less than five four flamethrowers right now. One shoots 110 feet.
Yeah, well, I change poopy diapers usually, so I do everything with that kid.
I never got the three ways and the dirty, dirty, dirty.
Oh, yes, you have.
No, 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 not like you. You got, listen, your girl, hey, beautiful, hot, funny, smart, as mine is. But difference is yours will go hunt vagina.
Yeah, yeah, she likes vagina.
Oh,
yeah, she still does. But now she complains because we don't do anything. I don't know if I talked to her.
Is it shut off?
Well, not that it's shut off, just that we can't do part of that. Those things is Molly. Molly's a big part of that.
Yeah, right.
And we can't do drugs anymore. My life is so boring right now. I stopped doing drugs.
Yeah, I guess you can. You got a kid, right?
I drive the speed limit. I don't do drugs. I stopped standing up and masturbating on roller coasters, which, in all fairness, that was an ultimatum from my wife early in our relationship, but now I'm really sticking to it. I am just, because I love this little boy so much that I want to be there for him. So.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense, man.
But my act is funnier than ever. I didn't realize, I thought it would change. I didn't think I'd be as funny, but I'm actually, because it gives you a lot of
insight. Well, you'd have to be insight. Thinking, you were super happy before.
Right.
Like, not that you're unhappy now, but let's face it, all the great comedy comes from a little bit of pain and frustration.
Yeah, no,
right?
I'm unhappy now. No, I'm definitely unhappy. But I'm unhappy in the happiest way. Like this is what I will say. If you have a crappy kid, I understand now why people throw their kids off cliffs. Because if you have a crappy kid, the stuff that they put you through, if it's not... Yeah. My kid is cute.
And like, nice, right?
He's the cutest kid in the world, and that's why and it is. It's like he comes over and he's like, "Daddy, please turn on the light." Like he says that, and then right there, I'm just his for the entire day. "Daddy, please turn on the light." He comes in and wakes me up and says that.
Joe was telling me, it was something on a cartoon adult.
I don't want to talk about Lincoln. Don't bring up Lincoln. Well, I don't like when you bring up other boys.
I like this, and he goes, "Oh, dude, don't say that." My kid says that. And I go, "Learn to say hi," and that's all he says to me. He goes, "Don't ever say hi to me again."
Yeah.
He goes, "I walk over that." Lincoln's like, "Hi, hi, 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 hi," and I'm like, "Jesus Christ, that sounds awful."
It's pretty awful. Yeah, it's awful. He loves in the morning he wakes up, he goes, Trolls. He likes watching Trolls.
Nice.
Actually, I say he likes it, but I like it a lot. I cry all the time when I watch Trolls. I'm still a pussy at heart.
I've never watched Trolls, but I'm sure I'd cry too.
There are so many things that when you become a parent, you become aware of in the world that you wouldn't have been aware of. There's a guy named Blippi. Have you ever heard of Blippi? People in your audience don't know who Blippi is. Right. Blippi is, the kids love him. And you just want to slit his throat. He's a YouTube star, and
he's
goes, "Hey, I'm Blippi."
He's a human.
I don't know if he's a human. No, I mean he's human, but he's not really
to be human, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's got a penis. I mean, he looks.
God,
yeah,
sounds terrible.
Look at Blippi.
Hi, kids. My first taste of super creepy weird stuff, and the frustration of a man. One of my good buddy Big Eric had triplets. They did fertilization stuff.
Yeah,
and so all of a sudden three eggs came up, and then instead of just having one, she got all greedy, and she's like, "We're having them all
three
because it'll be the most special woman in the world." You know, you're not special just because you got three kids. So two perfect little girls, identical, and a little boy, Dominic, Olivia, Gabby.
Yeah,
but then I watched a guy never get laid. And he literally had, there was a nanny.
Yeah.
And he would masturbate in his basement with the speakers off. And when they got old enough to go to daycare, he goes, "It's the greatest day of my life." And I go, "Why? Because you don't have to watch the kids." He goes, "No, man." He goes, "I can jerk off with actual sound coming at me."
Yeah.
And he meant it with all his heart.
That's so funny.
He really meant it with all his heart, man.
That actually leads into, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I got off the liquor for 2 months. So I'm on an 8 to 12 week sabbatical.
Okay, that's not a bad one. So mine is I'm giving up porno.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had to.
Why?
Because I was doing it too much.
How much is too much?
Like, in restaurants and stuff like that, like on my iPhone.
in the middle of dinner in a restaurant. Yeah. I got to go to the bathroom for 20 minutes.
No, I didn't even go to the bathroom. So my wife was like, "I can't bail you out anymore." I just decided that I think it was taking away from my sex life at home.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because when you're... I will say this, like when you see, I don't like that my wife is now also the mother of my child. I can't talk to her in the same way.
You got the Elvis issue.
A lot of people talk about that.
Yeah.
It's something that's real.
Yeah, sure, of course you're mother of my child.
Because I'm like, "Oh, you're such a whore, but you're such a good mom too." Like while we're having sex, it doesn't work. And I'm like, that doesn't fit, you know? And I'm like, "Oh, you look at your little whore, don't you? But you always make breakfast for our little boy, and you're so sweet."
You cut the crust off his PB&Js. Oh, you like it at the end.
She doesn't mind it, but I look at her different. Yeah,
yeah, it's got to be, man. Well, listen, you're a sweet guy, and you're a caring, loving, good
human
being.
I am pretty sweet.
You
yeah.
are, man. You genuinely are. And you're genuinely funny, but there's that. Everything with you is so real.
Yeah.
You know, your comedy comes from a very real,
it's very,
very
real.
Honest place. Yeah. So, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, I've always liked to be real.
Are you freaked out about the same girl? I know you love her, and I know you guys are tight, and everything's good, but just as a man, sexually, like, are you a little freaked out
about
it?
Well, the thing is, you know, we had the swinging part of it, and that's why I was able to get married.
Do you still get to do that once in a while? I mean, do they have, like, daycare?
It's been a long time.
Like, when you go to IKEA and you can drop your kid off for 10
minutes? It's been a long time.
Yeah, do you swing with the crib in the same room is immediately what I thought of.
Not with a kid in the same room, Nick.
No, but
I immediately think, where are you going to put the kid when you're somewhere?
Well, actually,
he's successful. Like, he's got multiple rooms in his house.
But say you have a threesome at your house.
We put the baby in the basement. Yeah.
I genuinely thought, where do you put this kid in a playpen?
Yeah.
We chloroform the kid and duct tape him to a boat.
I will tell you a funny story, though. My wife, I was away once, and I gave my wife a hall pass because we haven't both been, you know, and she had a couple over.
All right.
And she said that the entire time she had the monitor, that she was looking at the baby on the monitor and the people. Dude, see, life sucks. It's so bad. Let me stay with you, please. I want to leave my family. Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore. I love it. He's so cute. Oh, he's so freaking cute, though.
I bet. Let me see a picture of him.
Do you really want to see a picture?
Because I really do. I really do.
Because I always feel like, you know.
No. I like. See, here's my thing. I'm OPK, other people's kids. So any of my buddies' kids, I love to hang out with them because then it's like being a dad without being a dad.
That's my baby.
Oh, look at that. Look at that little nugget.
He's so freaking cute, right?
Look at that look on it. He's like, what are you? Those little furrowed brows. He's like, what are you doing,
Dad? I think that's the moment he realized I was his dad.
He's like, look at that. What a good looking face.
I think
that's hilarious.
I think he saw my CD and he was like,
that's so funny.
Dude, and then here's him a little more grown up. So. And,
oh,
yeah, I know the people at the home can't see.
No,
but
I know,
he's so
but let me
cute.
Tell you, he's wearing his little aviator jacket with the it's like the Maverick from the Top Gun type stuff with the wool neck and his little jeans. He's got his airplane on. Look at him! What a
such
God.
A good
he looks,
kid.
He looks like his mother,
dude. Can I tell you something? Let me just fast on a story. So when my wife was in labor for 48 hours.
Oh.
And the baby would not come out. I was doing everything. Oh. I was putting goldfish crackers on her vagina. He would just reach out and take a few and go right back up. And this is a true story. So finally, the doctor said to me, he's like, your baby's going into distress. We're going to have to do an emergency C-section.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, can I go say goodbye to her? And he's like,
Jesus Christ.
He's like, there's very little chance of us losing her. And I was like, okay. I go, then why'd you wake me? And he said, because I thought you'd want to observe. And I was like, nope, you got this. Just draw a straight line. That would be my only advice. I learned that in woodworking. And honestly, I did go in and I saw my baby come out of my wife.
So weird.
But it was a spiritual moment where he opened his eyes. This is true. And I was the first person he saw in the world. He looked right at me and we had that telepathic conversation. And I was like, I'm your daddy. And he's like, are you going to be able to support me? Because you look rough, dude.
You need to get your ass together, Dad.
Yeah. He's like, did you really wear a Pink Floyd shirt to my birth? And I was like, I didn't know that there was a dress code, idiot. So, but that's true.
Mooch. Nipple mooch.
Yeah. Immediately came out upset with me. Like he needed psychology or psychologist. Yeah.
He does look a little judgy.
He's a judgy kid.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He's got that look. I love other people. I like just jack him up on Red Bull and, you know, sugar and then send him away.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
Everybody gets fireworks, and that's not a joke.
It's fun.
Everybody's kids in my life, they all know. Like, once you reach a certain age, you'll stop by my house.
Yeah.
I have a closet. I keep fireworks. I'm like, here's for you, Max.
Oh, awesome.
Sienna, here's for you. LeJean from Seven Dust lives here now. And his little boy is like my best friend in the world, man. King. I'm like, King, he gets it's a clear backpack filled with fireworks.
Yeah.
I buy them at the fireworks stands. They sell. Do you know they sell children's? Toddlers' backpacks with fireworks in
them. Really? Just to get them started.
For a little kid. Yes. Yeah. It's like a little pyro
little starter kit. Yes.
Dude, and so it's fun, man.
I hope, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if you've had a vasectomy or not, but I hope you become a dad.
No.
I do, because I think you'd love it.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
just like, you are a sweet man.
Yeah.
You have a great personality, and I think you would love it more than you know.
I'm sure I would. I have no doubt, but at this point, the world's not missing any people. You know what I mean? Like if I
No, but it's missing good ones. Me and you would make good kids.
Yeah. Well, we should make kids. You and I. We should make some kids.
Do you have any pink stockings?
I know. Listen, I can get what you need, my friend. The triplets make me laugh. So they're my god kids. I got all kinds of god kids now.
Yeah.
And so they're five and they're super cute. Like these two little girls, like they make me laugh. I'd never seen this before. One had to get glasses and the other one couldn't take not being the same. So they had to get her glasses, which sweet. Without glasses in them. So they both wear their little glasses.
That's really sweet.
But the other day, the other one, Olivia, she walks up in a swimming pool. This is in the summer. And apparently there was like a DJ at their neighborhood and he was playing music and she demanded, because I had to ask him about this, I was telling somebody else, she walked up and clapped her hands 5 years ago. She goes, "Everyone, I have a speech."
Aww.
And she starts looking at everyone and so everybody stops and the guy turns the music off. She goes, "And it's all like, everyone gather around and rejoice in laughter." And then walked off.
Ah, that's awesome.
But who, what
well,
weird
this,
kid.
This is the thing about kids. It's fun. You can make them, by just what you do, they'll start to do whatever you do. So she's obviously seen that.
Oh my God, we've taught them so many. But he's divorced now.
Yeah.
Because that worked out to have three triplets.
Yeah.
And,
really.
Yeah, it was really nice. She stopped banging him and then, the whole thing.
I want to divorce her just for having the triplets. I wasn't even married to her, so, yeah.
And so we would tell things like, Mama's got tig old biddies, and they'd go home at 2 years old and say
that's
that.
That's funny.
Oh, we teach them
songs. Yeah, you can teach them. I taught my son that whenever he has a poop, to say to me, "I got a poopy nugget."
Oh.
So in front of neighbors and so just walk over, "I got a poopy nugget," and that just makes me laugh.
Is he house trained? Is he potty trained? Sorry, man. I don't know the terms.
Yeah, we still take him for walks.
That's how you know I don't have kids.
Yeah.
House trained.
He's not potty trained now, but he's starting.
I do drugs with this guy, Eric. Like we'd take drugs, whatever. Drink too much. When I had a bar, he was my bartender.
Yeah.
He's on fire. Like he's a bad
kid
in many ways.
Yeah.
But then he's a father, right? Now he's got these troubles and it's a beautiful house. And I'm in the kitchen one day and I'm getting something to drink and I like, "Yo, some candy." I reach in the fridge and I eat this candy and I'm opening it and I'm putting it in my mouth. And he goes, I hear this giant dude who I've seen shove ecstasy in his own anus. He goes, "Ah, that's poop candy. Don't eat it."
Oh, it's poop candy.
Yeah, that's what I said. I go, "It's poop candy. It looks like a miniature Snickers." He goes, "It is. When they poop, they get candy." And I was eating the poop candy. I'm like, "Sorry to eat your poop candy, dude." Put it back in. And then as they got older and learned to speak, like, "They're Uncle John, what are you doing?" And I was pouring myself some Jameson whiskey in a little shot glass.
Yeah.
And they're like, "What is that?"
Poop whiskey.
I go, "It's Uncle John's pain medicine." I go, "Uncle John, he got some pain."
Yeah.
And so it's so embarrassing. And then from that day forward, when I come to the house, one of them will try to climb up the counter, grab the bottle of whiskey that's sitting there, and offer pain medicine. Yeah. And I'm like, "Oh, I feel like a bad human being right now, man."
I want you to have a baby. I want you to join me in my
quest. Trick. That's the trick.
It is. We want more people to come
married
in.
Married people want other married people to be equally as unhappy.
Isn't it crazy how life works, though? Because did you ever think you'd get married and have a kid?
No.
See,
no.
I never thought I would either, but I did both of those things. So,
I think it's great. I think it's beautiful. I think there's nothing wrong with
it. I like it.
I mean, I'm absolutely in love. I'm absolutely monogamous.
Yeah, you are.
Same girl.
Yeah.
And I'm happy, and it's great. It doesn't mean I don't think about stuff.
She doesn't want a baby?
No. I told her earlier, I go, "Listen, there's some age difference here." And I go, "Hey, this is not on my agenda at this point." I go, "It seems a little silly at this point in my life to start that." And plus, the world's not my genetics. Like, my family took a leak in the gene pool. My brothers make babies like they don't even know how they're doing it.
My
brother can look at a girl and she boop pregnant. I mean, fertile. My brother, I'm like, there are times, and this is not even a joke, I've shown up at Thanksgiving and gone, "Hate to ask it, but whose kid are you?" I don't know what relationship it came from.
You know, it's scary you say that because it was so easy to get my wife pregnant that what I got out of that was just how lucky I had been in the past. I told my wife, this is how bad I was. I once had unprotected sex with a girl that I met at a bus stop in Las Vegas 10 minutes after I met her. And I was like, and I look back now, and it's so funny how your brain, this is what I realized about the guy brain, will make things okay in your head.
Sure.
Because I remember thinking, like, She's fine. She met her at a bus. She had a bus pass. How responsible? She has must be responsible.
She does this all the time. Yeah. Like she goes to work. She has places to be. She's like a real person.
But it made me realize like just how many chances I had taken and how lucky I was. Do you know? Go ahead.
I got to tell you, this is how I know I'm a guy. My first thought was, isn't that unsafe? Isn't that like that? I eventually got to that. But my first thought was, what did he say that was so awesome? He banged a chick in 10 minutes. That was honestly, my first thought was, yeah. I don't have that game. I don't have that. I have never, ever gotten anywhere near a 10-minute, like, sit down on the bus. My name's John. And then, bam,
well,
wow.
Well, that was my biggest get of my life. I mean, that was a cool moment. She was a little crack addict, adorable freaking little stripper hanging out at a bus stop at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was up at 7 o'clock in the morning going somewhere. And all the guys at the bus stop were hitting on her. Right. She was just wearing this tiny little micro mini skirt.
Sure.
And I knew that I wouldn't have it in. But I knew that they were a bunch of dudes. So we got on the bus and I said to her, wouldn't it be funny if you left with me or something? And I wrote her a note. That's what I was being cute. I wrote her a note and said something like, we should make them all freak out and me and you should get off the bus together. And she turned around and laughed and was like, okay, let's do it. And I was like, seriously? And she said, yeah, let's go.
See, you're charming. You are very, very unthreatening. You are.
I don't look like the sleazy guy that I am.
No, you're not sleazy. You,
I'm a little bit sleazy.
You're a dude through and through.
I'm cute sleazy.
But you are. But no, you have a certain way. It's true, man. I trust, like, first day I met you, I was like, oh, we're going to be friends. He's great. Yeah. I'm going to trust him. Everything's good.
Yeah, I'm a good person. But now I realize that I...
So how was the sex?
It was the best of my life.
Where did you do it?
We went back to my hotel room. I was staying at the Trop. We got on another bus, went back.
Right.
And then I remember thinking, like, I just met this girl. And then I remember thinking, like, I probably should use a condom. And then I was like, and I actually was like,
so good.
I'm sure she's a responsible young lady.
And I'm just so, you know, my mom told me about sex. This ties. When I got to be 16 or so, and she could tell, like, I was in that spot.
Yeah.
She's English. She was, Joan, this is her entire advice about sex. Any girl that will sleep with you will sleep with anyone. Because you're not special. Swear to God.
Oh, my God. That is classic.
It hurt my feelings. I was like, oh, turns out she's 100%
right. She's 100% right. Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, you just thought, I'm so special.
I was.
That this otherwise girl who would never do this
is
now, she can't.
I think the only reason she did it with me was I was different than the other guys at the bus stop that she would have, you know, and I was just the best option for her to have
fun. Did she want anything? Did she want to hang out? Did she have to, like, come on, you got to go now? Or
nothing. I just made her laugh. I will say this, that my entire sex life has been because I've made anybody make people laugh.
Well, and you're a nice looking guy. And not to just, you know, compliment you, but you know,
saying
you,
that.
Listen.
I don't think so, but I appreciate that.
Mitch, all the things you've done, all the radio, all television, all the specials, everything you've done. Come on, that's got to help you as well. Yes, you make people laugh.
No, I think it's just, I will say this. I did have a good looking girlfriend before I became a comedian, but it took a lot of work.
Right.
Like after I became a comedian, it became pretty. I remember the moment that I realized like life was different because I was with a girl in Wisconsin and she was doing something to me with her mouth that I enjoyed.
Mouth hug?
Yeah, mouth hug.
Yeah.
And she said, look at that, Mitch Fatel's penis. I just remember thinking, wow, okay, yeah. And I was like, it used to be.
She went third person on your day.
It used to be like, huh, that's Mitch Fatel's penis. But now it was like, oh, look at Mitch Fatel's penis.
I can't wait to tell my dad.
Life was good.
yeah, Mitch Fatel's penis.
She brought her relatives by, they all took pictures with it.
And she said it complimentary.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I remember thinking like, oh, I'm okay with that.
I mean, I know with your girl, like it was pretty much love when you guys met, you and your wife. Like,
I loved her. She just wanted a booty call.
Yeah.
Jess's ex-husband had left, and her best friend brought her to my show, and her best friend said, and I used to do a bit about the fact that I had never had a good threesome.
That's right.
Right.
I remember that
the threesome in movies... The bit used to be the threesome in movies are always perfect. The guy's having a great time. The girls are all laughing. He has enough for everybody. They're all celebrating. Right. But every threesome I've ever had, there's like one girl crying. There's one girl looking for her limb. So Jess's friend said, we should give him his first good threesome. And then Jess said, sure, because her husband had left. Why? I don't care. Like she even said she just thought I was like, she thought I had cute dimples. So whatever, I'll take it. But then I wouldn't stop holding on to. Do you know in our first sexual encounter, Jess told me that I was freaking her out.
Because
I was smiling at her while I was having sex with her. She goes, boy. You're just supposed to...
Just hit it.
Do it. Yeah.
Turn me over. Don't look at me.
You're kind of creeping me out.
You're like, can I tell you I love you just for this moment?
What does it say about her that she marries me and has a kid with me?
I think she... Oh, listen. Let me go backwards. When she said, I did it because you had cute dimples, don't you think that was her bus pass?
What, you mean
she's like,
he's
I can do this.
Sweet.
Yeah, you know, just like that was her way of justifying her behavior.
Yeah,
she went, I just couldn't get past it. Well, he's got a bus pass. Yeah, like, he must be responsible.
Then of course that must be responsible.
Yeah, you got cute dimples, whatever. Like, yeah. You know, it's that to us as humans, right? We try to find a way to make it always work.
But the thing is we have this whole past, and now I have a kid, and I was just thinking to myself, so I don't mean to bring you down, but about 6 months ago, I lost my dad. And
No. We're all human here. My father's sick. I get it.
Well, in my case, yeah, it was sad, but it was expected because I shot him. So I felt like that's what's going to happen if you shoot your dad.
God damn it,
but
Mitch.
God damn it. But I'm being serious. But at the funeral, this is true. At the funeral, I realized like I didn't even know him. Like I had this moment where I was like, we never even talk. So I'm going to make sure to always talk to my kid and I'm going to tell him one day, mommy and daddy met each other a long time ago at a Christian retreat and we fell in love and then we became best friends and that's why we had you. Mm-hmm. So if we get divorced now, it's probably going to be your fault.
Yeah, we never had sex until we were married in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
He's going to know everything.
I don't want to know my dad. I know my dad, but I don't want to know my dad. Like I know him enough. Like I don't need to know the other parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the screw ups, right?
I don't want to. I did. I did have that moment at the funeral. I was like, I have no idea who you are, and I was like, that's actually kind of better that I didn't know.
Enjoy the facade, not the person.
Yeah.
When it comes to your parents.
Yeah.
Like Nikki does not care for her dad, which freaked me out when I first met her and she got on the show. Yeah. Like there's no relationship there at all.
Yeah.
No,
I know that. I got that feeling.
Yeah.
My mom and I don't have a good relationship, but she's still alive. And we're counting the days. So get that inheritance money.
I said to him, I'm going to end up with a bill. You just wait. You're going to get a damn inheritance.
There ain't no inheritance money in mine. I inherited all the bills, the credit cards, the house, the payment for the nurses.
You should pay for your plot and everything else ahead of time. Start putting that to the side for them so you don't have to.
I don't have any money left.
All I know is when my mom goes, I'm getting a lot of pink stockings with that money that she's got left for me.
But you got that. There's a reason to try to patch it up, right?
Yeah.
The least you can
my
do
mom,
for you.
Oh, yeah. I love. Now, you gotta say my dad has Alzheimer's, and so there's two nurses that visit every day.
Worst.
But he's not sad, and he lives in the same house that I grew up in.
He knows who you are, though,
yes,
still, right?
Yeah,
okay, that's important.
And, I mean, sometimes you might be the nice guy who goes to lunch, but it's always pleasant.
Right.
And that's all I care. Listen, I don't take it personally. Like, I just go, okay, I know the disease. I just want to see that you're not sad or you're not afraid.
Yeah.
So I told him when it was all happening, I go, hey, you want to stay here? You stay here unless there's some reason you just medically cannot anymore. I go, I'll take care of this.
Aww.
Okay, so he's... My mom, who I know is always doing good when she's a huge pain in my ass.
Yeah.
So my mom she's that old school. Like she can lie to your face.
Yeah.
But for the best intentions.
Yeah.
And you're like, you are one crazy old bat.
Yeah.
she's got diabetes. She had a stroke. She had breast cancer. Got one boob. And she's really iffy on her health. But if she takes care of herself, she's going to be great. But one day I get a call from the doc. Kidneys are shutting down.
Yeah.
Blood sugars are off the chart.
Uh-huh.
She's having trouble with her eyes because of it. And I get on, I'm like, hey, we got to sit down. We got to talk about this. I go, hey, you're not drinking enough water. I don't like it. I go, I what do you mean you don't like water? You're made of water.
Yeah, you're made
this
of
is,
water.
You can't negotiate yourself out of this. Well, drink tea. I go, well, hey, your kidneys are shutting down, so we're going to have to push the water in clear glass, like drink eight glasses a day. Second, I go, let's talk about this hot tea problem you have, English lady.
Uh-huh.
I go, we're done with the sugar. We talked about this. I go, we're done with the goddamn sugar, Mom. You're diabetic. And she goes, not all the time. Just looks me in the eye.
Part
I go,
time.
You crazy. I go, not just when your limbs are falling off. I go, how about we just split the difference on your medical insurance and the nurse? I'll chop two of your toes off. We'll call the whole goddamn thing a wash.
Yeah. Dude, you know what you got to do to make this come full circle? Just before she slips into the netherworld, you just whisper in her ear, you're not that special. Goodbye.
Oh, go F yourself popped out of my mouth one day with my mom. I swear to God, it's off. It was off. It shocked us both. We're sitting there, and I go to ask.
We've had those moments.
Do a spot check. I go, what is this bag of sugar? Like there was like a pound left of a 5-pound bag of sugar. I go, woo, No more. I go, Mom, she was getting sores on her eyes because the blood flow was not flowing well.
Wow, we're doing the same thing. My mom, too.
And I had to buy lenses that cost thousands that I have to go on there to keep them moist, and then she couldn't put them in. I'm like, So fast forward, I go, What is this? And she goes, John, I am not throwing away perfectly good food. It was, do you know what, I go, yeah, it costs about $2 for 5 pounds. And I've got two nurses. I paid the house up. I paid the insurance, all the stuff. And I go, I'm all flushed. I go, you got to go yourself. And she was like,
oh.
She had that look, and I go, oh, I did just say that, didn't I? And I said, you have to step in the gas. And I go, yeah, so that's what you go
to. Isn't it crazy?
Give me the goddamn sugar.
You get them back. My mom was
so miserable. And I had to apologize, and you know, though, I didn't mean it.
I just want a mom with an English accent now. That's just what I want in life.
No, don't, because you can never jerk off to English porn again.
Give it to me.
Put it right in the bum. Up the bum. No babies come. And you're immediately like,
brrr. So how long were your parents married for?
They're still married.
They're still married.
Oh, my dad's a pedophile.
Get out.
But, you know, in a blessed by the Lord sort of way.
In a nice way.
He's in the military. He meets her in England, in Norwich, England, and he's at an Air Force base. He's from Memphis, Tennessee. He'd gotten his heart broken by some broad and did what all guys do at that time. They run away. He didn't have a huge future, didn't have wealthy parents. So he was a really smart guy, a hardworking, Republican, Italian, Catholic, Air Force. All right, I'm away. Meets my mom at a bar, in a pub. They fall in love. Over the course of 6 or 7 months, asks her father, can I marry? He says, yes. Her best friend takes him out of the bar one night and goes, Bill, you know, she's only 15 years old.
Oh, my God.
At 16.
How old was he?
Oh, he was like 22 or 23.
Okay, that's not.
No. Yeah. No, it's 15. I'm like, Dad. Obviously, it's okay. But they've been letting her in the bar because at 16, you can drink.
Right.
So she's got these huge. My mom was beautiful. Like her wedding
picture.
Oh,
that's
like,
nice to hear.
She's gorgeous. Gorgeous. And I mean, solid, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And like Jane Russell level beautiful.
Yeah, your dad risked jail for her. Come on.
He was so upset he threw up on the sidewalk outside.
Because he was like, I can't leave her.
If he just realized what he'd been doing. He was like, what? He thought she was like an 18-year-old woman for some reason.
And he never asked.
I think they're too busy.
That's the right thing, Met her at a bus stop from what I heard.
Yeah. And one day, before my dad got sick, I was like, Dad, are you kind of a pedophile? And he's like, what did you say to me? And I go, Dad, 15 years old, huh? And he was like, it was different back then. I go, yeah, it was okay to screw a kid.
Yeah, you couldn't go to jail. That's what was different.
As long as you married him, took him to, Blytheville, Arkansas. Good one.
But isn't that great, though? Yeah. Think about the beauty of it. Like, that little meeting, and now you had your whole life. You've made so many people happy on the radio just because of that moment.
That's
pretty. Because I look at Max, my son, and he wasn't supposed to be here.
God forbid my mother ever hear this conversation, because then it's just going to be parlayed into a whole other thing. She'd be like, John, did you hear what Mitch Fatale said?
Yeah.
I was the reason you brought joy to how many people?
And then I'm going to go and I'm going to bring her 5 pounds of sugar and be like, go make Johnny pissed off.
She smuggled my father with Alzheimer's and my brothers on a cruise ship with the nurse and swore everyone to secrecy and did it out of my checking account.
Wow.
I found out,
Because you trusted her.
Yeah, I still trust her, but I would give her checks that were just signed.
Yeah.
So she could just write a check. You know what I mean?
I
told my mom, don't put anything on a credit card.
I would never let my mom do that.
Well, my mom, man, she's very trustworthy. But unless you can't.
She's got an English accent. How can you not trust her?
She's got her own justification.
Yeah.
She's like, John, your father wanted to go, and I knew if I told you I was going to take him out of the country. I go, yeah, you crazy old person. That's took my father, who sometimes doesn't remember your name and doesn't know, and you took him to Mexico. By the way, they lost him once.
They lost him in Mexico?
Yeah, they turned around. He walked off.
He was in a school picking up a new wife?
I swear to God. I don't understand a word. I don't understand a goddamn word these people are saying. Where am I?
She was a good mom, though, growing up?
Yeah, she was a great mom.
She was a good mom, because you seem pretty content. You seem happy. You don't seem that anxious. I'm very anxious, because I had bad parents.
Yeah. That sucks,
man. I did. I'm very anxious. My mom, they were just very mentally, like, they weren't supportive of anything I wanted. When I told my mom I was going to be a comedian, she's like, you can't do that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was that kind of stuff.
Although my mom did tell me, and it's true, she goes, John, don't try too hard, because if you don't, you won't be disappointed.
She said you weren't special.
She did. She did kind of give me, the problem was everything was so true.
Yeah.
It was real. She told me I bought their house. I took paid it off when I could, you know, because you're trying to gain the favor. Like, you never stops. Your dad would be proud of me.
I always wanted my dad to be proud.
I dropped out of high school. I never played sports. I, you know, did drugs, the whole bit. And so she was busting my ass. I go, Mom, about not getting a high school diploma. I go, I just paid your house. I go, let's talk about this. Where was I going to go to college? Where was the college fund that we were saving up for me?
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't even miss a beat. She goes, we knew at a young age you were not college material.
That's awesome. I love your mom now. I'm going to go give her sugar. I'm going right there. God. I'm going to give her 5 pounds of sugar, and I'm going to stuff it in her eyes.
Well, she was going through her cancer treatments, and she had her wig. My brother's everybody couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
We're all at Thanksgiving. And she'd been getting better, and they chopped off one of her breasts, and she'd, you know, gotten everything done. And I brought over wine she never drinks. So she gets a glass and a half in. Now she's tipsy.
Yeah.
And she can't take it, and she pops her wig off, and her head looks like a scrotum. Like, it's like...
All
like
there's wrinkled.
No more wispy hair. Okay.
Like, I'm so thinking wrinkles because of mine these days after the vasectomy.
More like random hairs that don't really fill in. And my brothers are both out. Like, then they're like, oh, because they can see Mom with her bald head and a weird ball hair.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing. I'm like, that's fantastic. Pop that thing. Throw that thing in the fire. And then she gets all proud of me. All of a sudden, she, you know, gets a little emotional. She goes, sticks her chest. She goes, Joan, did you see what she bought me? And it took me a second. I go, oh, that cutlet thing that goes in your bra, right?
Yeah.
And she goes, this looks good, right? I go, yeah, they look really good. And I reach over and I go, like this. And she's like, ooh, it was the other one.
Oh!
I got a full handful of my mom's cans boob in front of everybody at Thanksgiving. I mean, a full honk.
Yeah.
Like in the, all the way to the palm. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
The question is, can I see your mom now? Because I have not... touched a new breast in a long time, so if I have an excuse to do it.
You might want to have her lay on her left side.
I don't care. Yeah. Whatever side.
Spooner from the left. The right's just going to get weird.
Your mom, though, what makes me sweet is that it seems that she's had a really nice life.
Well, she had a hard life coming up.
Did
she? She had pretty mean parents, and she grew up really super poor in a tenement in England.
Okay.
Like her stepmom used to lock her in a cellar type.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So my dad really...
Because she wasn't that special, probably.
Yeah, exactly. and so, she, you know, my dad, you know, getting her out of there, like she was willing at 15 years old to take some weird adventure to Blytheville, Arkansas, where 100% humidity and the heat like she'd never experienced.
That's
bunch
crazy.
Of people talking like this. Where are you from?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
And just all of a sudden just jump and go.
Yeah, let me ask you an honest question. Does she ever tell you that she's proud of you?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, of course. I'm sure.
Because she's called me and told me she's not proud of you. Just so you know, she's like...
He could have done better, really. He had so much.
Do you think you can help him out? She says to me.
You listen, hey, you're going to be at you're doing one tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night as well.
Yeah.
Listen, this is a new club. You've been here?
This is the first time. I heard a lot of my buddies, Jim Florentine, was here, and said it was awesome.
So I'm in Third and State Line, Comedy Club of KC.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I think, a really good show. The owner's pretty weird. He sits in there. He's got the hoodie and the weird beard and stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't he look like...
Interesting guy.
Like ISIS gone homeless?
He seems like the guy that's going to sign my check. So,
Yeah, it's somewhere. It's like ISIS neck beard. He's a good guy. He's a great guy. And he loves comedy. But you can stay for a minute, right? You got to go somewhere?
I'm here, but I also want to talk about my podcast because I never had one. I know that comics annoy you with that, but I think you'll enjoy it.
I love podcasts.
When I tell you what it is, I think you'll enjoy it.
Dude, listen. Here,
do you like UFC by any chance?
Yes, to a degree. Yes. Yeah. I'm not super over the top about it, but like any guy, you love to go see people punch each other in the face once in a while.
Right. Exactly. Well, I'm doing a podcast with a UFC
fighter. Are you a big UFC fight guy?
Huge. Love them.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
See, I
had to give up porn, so I had something else to watch it when I get back to the room.
Kind of guy that gets your ass kicked, because look how nice he is. Mitch Patel is one of the nicest, most genuinely heartfelt guys, and because you like that, like, now I know if pushed into a corner, you will smack a
no,
guy.
No. Like, I think the reason why I like it is because it's so opposite of what I would do, that I'm not a fighter at all. I hate fighting.
Yep.
So I'm amazed at guys that actually do that for a living. Think about it. Like, most people will...
It's crazy.
...walk away from wanting to get punched, but you go into a scenario...
It takes a certain person.
People pay you, and you punch another guy. That's crazy, dude.
They eat pain like candy. They like it. They like the way it feels getting hit in the face.
My partner on the podcast, his name is Corey Sanhagen, is the number 4 bantamweight in the UFC, every time we do the podcast, he's got, first of all, he's got these big cauliflower ears, sweet kid, but he's always cut up. Yep. He's and because that's his training, getting ready for you know, his next fight or whatever.
It doesn't bother him. It's not like he's breaking through the pain to the other side. There are certain kinds of people that like the feeling of that rush.
They like to be punched. Yeah.
And it's really, it so escapes me.
And what's crazy is we always discuss that. I go, what you do is crazy, and he thinks what I do is crazy. He's like, how do you get up and just tell jokes? He's like, getting beaten up around in a cage is fine. I don't mind doing that. But he's like, but I could never get up in front of a bunch of people and do a bunch of jokes. So it's interesting to see that.
Well, listen, stay with us. Well, we're going to come back. Right. We'll talk about what happened to the reality show you were working on.
Oh, that didn't. Yeah, that was almost out.
Dude, it was a grand idea.
And then someone at A&E decided that people weren't ready for it.
Well, that doesn't mean they're not ready now. No. And you got the podcast we're going to talk about. We'll talk about your shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Awesome. But you can hang, right?
As long as you want me, I am here.
All right, the great Mitch Patel, guys. He's in town this weekend. Comedy Club of Kansas City, Thursday through Saturday, 103rd and State Line. If you're wondering, if you want to get a little warm-up, like a pre-party, Mitch Patel is magical. Public Display of Perversion. Comedy Central, HBO, you can find them all over the
Mini
place.
Mini Skirts and Muffins on my website. You can buy that.
That's right. And what's the website?
It's MitchFatel.com.
F-A-T-E-L. Stay there. Let's talk about your podcast.
About my podcast. I didn't want to do a podcast because every comedian does one, but then I finally found one that was really interesting to me.
Do it well. Like you do what you do. It's like you do your stand-up.
That was my thought.
Just do it good.
Because I realized that there's certain things I like listening to. So I really like fighting.
Yeah.
And I thought, and one of the things is every time I'd meet a fighter, because I live in Colorado, there's a lot, they'd tell me how much they loved comedy. And I was like, there's a lot of like how we respect what they do and they respect what we do. I became very good friends with this fighter named Corey Sanhagen, number three bantamweight, four bantamweight. He's a monster. He's such a great fighter. In the UFC, we became best friends. We started doing a podcast called Punchlines Podcast. And each week we have one fighter or one comedian on. We've had Jim Norton. We've had Tom Papa. We've had Fitzsimmons, John Reap. And or we have fighters on, Curtis Blaydes, Drew Dober, Neil Magny. We're going to get on a lot of other big fighters, Rose Namajunas. And anyway, then we just talk about the psychology of it.
He looks like a skinnier Conor McGregor.
Dude, I think he looks like he's there to do your lawn. I always tell him I look like the fighter.
Not in this picture where he's bleeding everywhere. His hands wide open like this. He just looks like the dude. I wish to myself I had a gun so I could shoot you right away.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Of course.
But when he fights, he says he has a character in him, because I've interviewed him about this, called Dark Passenger. And when Dark Passenger comes out, he wants to rip out your lungs and he wants to eat your liver with fava beans.
That's fantastic. Well, I've seen lead singers have to do that, where they have another person sort of inside them and they have to become, like Ozzy will tell you, I am not the man you see now. I'll be back in a moment. They get there.
Yeah.
And I've seen lead singers, they just harness something different inside
them. He has a weird side inside him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the sweetest guy in the world. But then when he fights, and he's undefeated in the UFC. He's undefeated in the UFC. I think he has one loss before that, before he was in the UFC. But anyway, so.
See, guys like that are so scary because you put him in regular street clothes. Because he, you know, what does he weigh? You know,
he fights at 135 and he's 5'11".
Let me tell you something. I'm in a bar and I see some guy and I'm like, hey, you, little 135 guy, why don't you go get me another drink before I slap you one with one hand?
Yeah.
Like, and all of a sudden,
you mentioned though the one thing you always look for is the ear.
Always,
he's got the big cauliflower ears.
I told her this. Everybody hears. One thing you learned the hard way.
Yeah.
I did. You always look at a man's ears. If it's going to get serious, and if he's all boxed up and cauliflowered, you better back up.
Yeah.
You better back up because you're going to get your ass handed to you. You're going to get taken to the floor, and you're going to cry and scream and pee.
I become such good friends with this guy, and I said to him the other day, hey, if I'm ever walking with my kid and some guy comes over and gives me crap, like what's the first thing I should do? Should I go for the throat or whatever? And he goes, I really think you should run. but he was serious, and he goes... And he actually said, if the guy's bigger than you, run. And he goes, there's a reason. He actually taught me this. He's like, there's a reason where this weight class is. He's like, I'm a badass, but if I fight Curtis, who's a 265-pounder, he goes, there's one haymaker, and I would be out.
Well, and that's equal to equal, like ability to ability, but there's a greater weight.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you come up on a guy, and both of you are not fighters, you're matched, evenly matched, it's whoever wants it more.
Right.
But you run into a guy like this guy, and who has the skill, the understanding, you're not going to hurt him.
Yeah, he's a jiu-jitsu expert.
He's going to break you in parts like you don't even know.
Dude, if you want to see an amazing fight, he fought a fighter named Lori Alcantara, if you can find it somewhere on Fight Pass or something, and Lori Alcantara had him in an arm bar.
How do you spell Lori?
Luri Alcantara, and put an arm bar, and you'll see Corey in an arm bar, and you'll see his arm being bent backwards, and he's
Here's a highlight,
and he still got out of it. He still won that fight.
Well, that's a beautiful thing about UFC and MMA. It is really anybody's game all the way to the end. It can in the last second you'll see a guy ass handed to him, and the last second you'll get a guy just right, choke him out, put him into a submission, whatever, or get a lucky shot, and then boop, you'll see the guy posture, his hands will turn in.
I love it. Yeah.
Have you seen a guy knocked out in real life yet?
I have.
That weird snoring and their hands go in. They go, yeah.
I did it to Jake before I came in here. That's how I saw it.
Yeah. And Mitch did it with his penis.
But so he's got a teammate named Drew Dober. Drew Dober was our first guest. Drew Dober's fighting on the Conor McGregor card this Saturday, by the way. So we get to watch Drew. Drew's our first guest.
And Conor's fighting
Cowboy Cerrone, who's a Colorado guy, too.
He's going to get his ass kicked.
Oh, he's going to get destroyed. Yeah,
I don't like Conor anymore. I used to.
Conor's going to destroy Cowboy.
Yeah. But I used to like Conor, and I used to think he was an interesting guy, and I thought it was a shtick.
And he realized he's just a dick.
He really is. Just a dick. Like, he's just not a good person, man. I'm like, dude, I don't mind if you're crazy. I don't mind, but I thought this is an act. Like, he's smart. He's a good fighter who knows I need to get publicity. But then you realize it's real.
Johnny,
he's an a-hole.
We're good friends for a reason, because you see the same thing I do. Like, at first I was like, oh, it's a good character. He's decent. And then really one day it clicks in, because we know characters, we know people, and you're like, oh, he's just a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a guy you wouldn't like.
Then I don't root for you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't
you
like
can't
to see
root for him.
Bad guy. I like to see good guys win. Here's that Corey, by the way. And he's beating him in the back of the head. I'll pause it. So here's the deal. This is that fight you were telling me about. And he's got his opponent down.
Down and just
and
wailing on him.
He's ear effing him with his right hand. He's got him underneath. And it's, I think it'll be.
And that is it. Corey Sandhagen.
359.
What's that?
It was 3:59 in. Four minutes in.
Yeah, 4 minutes in. This is after an arm bar.
Yeah, they only showed the end of it here. God, look at your boy.
It's my best friend. I mean, you're my best friend, but he's my second
best friend. I'll be your best friend, but not if I have to fight your other best friend.
No, he's pretty cool. So we do the podcast once a week. Nice. We have Curtis Blades coming out tomorrow. If you go to our Instagram, which is at Punchlines Pod, you can sign up there and subscribe on all the different platforms. And it's been really, really fun, because we decided when we did the show, you would never guess it, but he is so not a bro. Like, we sit there and talk about our feelings.
Now, all the good fighters I've ever known are really the incredibly tough people.
Yeah.
Like, incredibly tough. Listen, you'll never get your ass kicked by a guy who tells you they're going to kick your ass.
Exactly. He always says that. Like, and he always says if anyone wants to fight with him, because he knows he can destroy them, he'll always be like, let's just go get a beer.
I got nothing to prove, son.
Yeah, I got nothing to prove.
And it's like a guy telling you he's got a big D or a lot of money. No, you don't.
Isn't it cool, though, to be that tough that you don't have to worry
about? Yes, I wish I was. I got a buddy Belshi like that. I got a couple friends like that they're all MMA guys.
Yeah.
But I've never seen them bully, push someone around. They're first to back up and be like, hey, man, it's all good.
It's a mellowness.
Get on through the door, because they're not going to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
I had to stop taking kickboxing lessons from my buddy Belshi, who'd done a lot of fighting and reffing and stuff in the UFC and Bellator and stuff.
Yeah.
And because I couldn't stop dropping my left, and he punched me in the head for about the 175th time over the course of about 5 months.
Yeah, they're so good.
He couldn't train me to stop dropping. He'd faint with his knee, hit me in the side, and I go, and he'd poof. And I'm like, I can't have you hit me in the head anymore. I can't take this.
Corey's thing is he's so fast you can't even hit him if you wanted
to. No.
And it's crazy.
I didn't even try to
hit Belshi.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to. There was no. Yeah. It was all defense.
Yeah.
And
it's all defense. Yeah. So anyway, so
do you ever try it? Do you ever try to box or do anything?
Me and Corey have an agreement that when we do 100 episodes, when we get to our 100th episode, we're on our second this Friday. When we get to 100, he's going to do 5 minutes of stand-up at Comedy Works in Denver, and I'm going to go 5 minutes with Justin Gaethje. If you know who Justin Gaethje is, he's one of the baddest asses.
No, don't do that. I don't want to see you get hit. I don't like that. Like, and
I'm going to do it because I have nothing to live for anymore. I have a kid. I don't care anymore. I want brain damage. I don't want to know what's going on.
My dirty little whore is now a beautiful mother.
She's a beautiful mom, and she breastfeeds, which is beautiful. She breastfeed our child, and he would look it up at her like a goddess. And I would laugh in my head because I would think, like, you know, he'll never know that this perfect human being once had sex with daddy on a subway. when mommy has wine, mommy's a little bit of a whore.
listen, this one, they're still in the lifestyle.
You are.
Wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
do you have kids?
Yeah.
He's moved out of house. He's 21.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big difference.
But he's been doing it since the kid was like 9.
I think when my kid's nine, I'll get back into it.
When did you start sweating?
He was about 9 or 10. But he'd go to state. You know.
He thinks he doesn't know. He thinks the kid doesn't know. He's been on the radio show 25
years. Kid knows.
25 years this one's been on the show.
They know everything.
Of course.
They know everything.
He knows.
He doesn't know.
He knows.
Yeah, he does.
He knows it.
Even Corey Sandhagen knows. He told me he knows about you. Everybody knows about you.
He's on the side, so it doesn't
matter. His mom, he knows his mommy is eating more vagina than cervical cancer.
That's disgusting. I like you. Jenny, if you ever come through, will you be a guest on our podcast?
Yes. We're at in Colorado.
We're in Denver.
Okay.
Because this is what we do. Since we're not bros, we don't talk about the fights. I don't say stuff like, man, that guy was murked. We don't do that. What we do is we get the fighter in.
Here's how pussy I am. I don't like sports. I'm not a sports guy. I don't even know what murked means.
I don't even know either, but I've heard them say it on Fighter and the Kid, but that's another podcast. But
I love Callan.
But we get a guest in and we just ask them, what's the matter with you? Why do you want to do this for a living? What got you into it? Why do you like doing this? It's called the psychology of comedy and combat. We just learn like what makes us do these stupid careers that we do that we love so much.
Why do we seek out pain? Why do we seek out? But I think
adulation
it's a
from strangers.
What?
Why do we as comedians seek out adulation from strangers? Right. I mean, why am I on stage? I've been in this business 30 years, Johnny. I've done everything I've ever set out to do. And still, if there's one person in the front row not laughing, I'll be looking down going, yeah, I suck. I'm not funny.
26 years we've been this gift, right? We broke it. Yeah. And this is truly just, I'm just trying to set up what my next statement is. We broke every record.
You're an icon of Kansas.
Well, just, yeah, which absolutely. Is, it's like being the tallest pygmy. But,
you know. Pretty cool, man. But you did something. You did something.
After that, all it takes for me is somebody to go, hey, good show today. And all I hear is, I think, what was wrong with yesterday?
Yesterday
wasn't okay.
What's the matter with us? That's what this podcast is.
That's all I hear. And that's not a joke.
Yeah.
Every friend I know knows that. Like, they don't say good show today. Hey, they'll say I liked an interview. But a good show today only screws my head up. I can't listen to it. I don't want to listen to it.
Corey is one of the best fighters in the UFC. It's an amazing thing to get to. And he tells me that when he posts his things on Instagram, he won't read the comments because the one person that says, like, you shouldn't be undefeated, you're just lucky or whatever, like, it'll get into his head.
See, I don't suffer from social media stuff. But he's young. You know, like, I mean,
he's 27.
He's 27. So he'll get to a point where it doesn't matter to him anymore.
Yeah, well, he probably won't make it past 30. He's a fighter, he's going to have brain damage soon. But.
He's going to see.
So I'm hoping that this podcast, we get as many guests as possible before he doesn't know
before
what's going on.
But you listen, comedians, I believe, are somewhere deep inside, the best ones are so sad about this. I think there's such a level of empathy inside of great comedians and a clear vision of the way the hypocrisy of this entire planet's going. And forget about choosing a political side or a moral side. Like, you just, they see things in a light and it drives them. You have to make a joke or your head's going to explode.
You know what's amazing? And I'm not complimenting myself either, but what I've noticed is no matter how sad or depressed I am or tired, if I sit down and write, I can still think of funny stuff. It's crazy. Yeah. It has nothing to do with how I feel as a person.
It's the vent, I think.
Isn't that weird?
I think you have this ball inside of you, and it's percolating and percolating and percolating, and you're building it and building it, and all of a sudden, I think, God forbid, you ever get to a therapy situation where you become happy and satisfied, because that I think is the killer of comedy. Not if you have a kid and a wife, you're like, oh, now all the good sex, you've already found it, like,
right.
It's great and you love it, but another frustration.
But isn't that what comedians do then? They find the fact that, like, life always has a menu price for whatever you're
the
doing
greats, and the greats
yeah,
do
yeah so yeah. I hope so.
Let me take a quick break, and if you're tired you can go, otherwise we got another half you want to hang.
I'll hang.
We got to do some news too.
Yeah, I'll hang.
All right, stay right there. The great Mitch Fatel is with us Thursday. That'll be tonight. Then tomorrow night. And then Saturday night. Two shows Saturday and Friday. And one show tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading. Corey just wrote me.
You son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. I don't.
Punchline's hot.
I was actually. My flight was delayed. And I had to go on there. And I had to rebook it. What
was
did you ask me?
It was a family emergency.
It was a family emergency.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Volbeat, Doc Holliday. 14 degrees in Kansas City. It's Johnny Dare. Nikki Pace. Hey, guess what, Nick?
Hmm?
Hey, look at this. You got one of these? A Yeti roadie cup from the
No,
Wolf?
I did not.
Yeah, I walked by your husband's office. He gave me one.
You know,
I did not get one. I just took it off the front porch when it was delivered so no one would steal it.
Do you know that Nikki bought me snacks?
Oh, she...
She took me like a mom, and she let me pick out whatever I wanted.
And did she make you pick? Was it like that? This shelf, but this
that shelf.
I felt so close to her. She's like, I go, I want that, and she goes, and do you want some cheese too? And I go, yeah, take some cheese. And she said, go take cheese.
This is the thing about Nikki. She will try to be so hard. I was, and so put the, this up. But then you see her. She's the nicest, I was, nicest, I wanted sweetest to hug person. Her.
It's
I
was like, dark in there, but it. It's nice until it's not. That's all it is.
And then, and then she opened the door with her breast.
Oh, yeah, because I don't have pockets.
You,
I thought that was fascinating.
You should see her in summertime where there's keys, a key card, there's a candy, there's some money.
Yeah, there's only one pill. Well, what I got cash in there right now.
She also keeps her pills in her bra.
Oh, is that what you were doing? Because she put
well, because I had this, I had my money and my my card, and then there should be a half of Adderall in here somewhere.
And I was like, I knew breasts could open doors.
Where's the rest of my Adderall?
There's a half of Adderall.
I don't have pockets.
I had a great line. Did you hear my line?
No.
I said, I knew breasts could open doors, but I didn't know they could literally open doors.
I've done it so long, I forget I even just lower down and do it.
This is the best day of my life. I got cheese and grapes, and I saw someone open a door with their breast.
You are feeding him like he's your child right
He
now.
Said what he wanted, well, and he's like, oh, that's perfect. And I was like,
cheese
and
grapes? Snack box.
He just wanted protein. I go, you want to add a cheese stick? And he's like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I do want a cheese stick. Thanks,
you want your Go-Gurt? You want your Go-Gurt?
Okay, we'll have nap time in 15 minutes.
Easy, your husband's here.
I'll take a little nap time.
I don't even know what that means. The good-looking guy you walk by on the left, third office.
Yeah,
that's your husband.
Oh, nice.
That's the guy who got me in the business back.
Do you get him snacks?
Yes, I actually have.
I don't want you doing that with another man.
It's unnatural how much she loves him after all these years. It's unnatural. It really is. She adores him.
We irritate the hell out of each other at the same time.
You have kids?
No.
That's why.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Her daughter-in-law. Mike's daughter is married. You know Dan and Shay are the country music duo?
I do not.
Kind of ambiguously gay country music duo.
I know Lou Diamond Phillips. I don't know.
Well, even better looking. And, but they just had a huge year, like tons of Grammys, all the whole business.
Yeah.
All their music sounds like a goddamn mayonnaise commercial. Like it's, and they're good people. So it's hard for me to insult them, but I cannot.
Yeah.
Well, listen, tell me this voiceover of a very sweet mom from a 1980s sitcom who's like, boys, Mom, can I have a sandwich? You want some of that Dan and Shay mayonnaise today?
This is the best cheese ever, Mom.
White cheese on white bread with white mayonnaise.
Like sugar sweet kiss in the morning. Oh,
this is beautiful.
Right into my window. Cool drink of water in the summer. Better than
if the first time I heard that you told me it was a girl named Barbara, like I'd be like, okay. Cherry on top. It sounds like it could be a girl.
Oh yeah, his voice gets pretty high.
Yeah.
Shay's voice, not
taking it back.
That could be a girl.
Stuck my balls up my own.
A guy like me.
Open a door with my breast.
But his daughter-in-law or her daughter-in-law and his Mike's daughter is married today, and they're wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
Awesome.
They're good people.
Are you going to tell them about the cheese box you bought me?
I might have to admit, yes.
You never bought me a goddamn cheese box.
Hey,
I bought you other things.
Don't you worry.
You ever get a cheese box?
I got a piece of cheese, but not a box.
I'll give you a whole cheese, but you always end up giving half back.
I just want the whole box. All right, stop.
This
it.
Is what you got.
I'm kidding.
My cheese, my Colby Jack cheese. Oh, man.
Always goes back to some dirty term, Jack, Colby, box, whatever. Just always dirty with this one. I'm talking about you, Mitch.
Yeah.
And you know what it
he's
is?
Like,
I'm a little bit dirty.
Because Mitch Vitale's married now, and he has a beautiful baby named Max. He's a wonderful boy.
Such a sweet
2 kid. Years old.
Loves me.
Are you going to let him cuss?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't curse at all in front of him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who are you? Where's my friend Mitch?
You know, my
Where did
act
Mitch go? Where'd my,
my
drug...
act has not one curse word in it.
Of course, I knew that. I did know that.
And as a result, and I said, I don't want my son to curse. I've become the most conservative.
I curse like, will you hear me off the air?
Yeah.
I like it. I love curse. I think cursing's fun.
Yeah, I don't curse at all.
Yeah?
I don't even say the S word anymore. I don't say... except if I'm having sex, then I curse.
Dude, do you really break it out? You break it out like
I'm pretty dirty. Yeah, I guess there's another side.
You break out the C word like you know rhymes with punt.
No, I won't do that. I just do a lot of the whore word.
Yeah,
I like the whore word. Yeah,
I love a good dirty talker. A girl, a pretty face with a filthy mouth. I'm like, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
I'm over.
I definitely have that side of me.
Nikki, although you would think being radio, being very clever, very quick. She could talk to her. We were talking about this, but you and Mike can't talk dirty to each other.
No, we end up laughing because it's just the thought of, oh, look at you trying to be sexy.
Yeah.
Now, see, I would have thought that you could if you broke through, because you're good, you're quick, you're clever. I mean, you've got all the right components if you'd embraced it.
Over time, there are like little blips. You probably need a couple cocktails if it's late at night too, where you might say a little something that you normally wouldn't. But otherwise, no, it's more laughing, like jacking around, than it is filthy talk.
Which
is different.
No. I was gonna say, but the reason I thought that, again, I see a stereotype. You're a full input girl. She likes everything.
Yeah, I can tell. She told me that when she brought me cheese.
Jesus.
She's like, hey, here's your cheese. I do anal.
So by the way, yeah. But my wife and I have one go-to role play that works every time.
What is it?
It's crack-addicted stripper and creepy club owner. I play the part of creepy club owner.
You have your own bus stop?
No, and I'm always like, and we get really into it. Like, we're almost too good at it. I'll be like, I'm going to give you $50 to perform oral sex. I mean, she's like, I don't want to do it, but I just love my crack so bad.
Come on, you don't do that.
Yeah, we do a lot of that.
You find yourself doing it for each other, not sexy, but just because you know it's genuinely funny and good. Like, the deeper the performance can get, it's no longer like, I'm getting horny. I love to perform.
But actually, sometimes we can get too deep into it. Like, I'll be like we start getting lost. Like, I'll be like, I'm not even going to pay you. And she'll be like, you better pay me or I'll call my pimp. And I'm like, you don't have a pimp, do you? And she's like, there's a lot of you don't know. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, are we playing right now or not? And she's like, I don't know. I'm so cracked out. I forgot.
You need to get one of those little pipes and just bring it home. Fake in it. Like, Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's
man.
My favorite role play. I always had to be the I think that's the dark side of me that I don't want to admit. It's like, I wish I could have become one of those creepy, like, strip club owners. It's like, you want a job? Well, why don't you prove you need it? You know, like,
exactly.
I wish I could be that guy, but I could never be. So I became the sweet comedian instead.
Yeah. You ever give middle management a tongue bath?
I think I could do that guy.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm like, I can't. And they'll tell you, like, I met my girl on a plane, and that's the only. And she texted me a year later, emailed me a year later.
Yeah,
I gave her tickets or something to a show, and then a year later, I got an email, and I thought, that hot chick wants tickets again.
Yeah,
like 3 months texting, never would phone call her because I was like, there's no way this girl like honestly. Yeah, that's
me
no
with
joke.
Jess. That was the
I was
same
like,
thing.
There's no chance that girl likes me.
Right,
and I would never ask her because I hate. I can't take rejection. Like I can't. Yeah, I don't hit business. On girls. I cannot.
Yeah,
no, I can't be out there again.
Yeah.
You know, is that, or do you think I'm a Lothario?
No,
game?
The only time I will have an intervention in your relationship or any part of it is if that came to the day and I'd be like, we need to work something out, Sassy.
Mm-hmm.
It involves more than just you. I understand you have more interactions maybe than we do, but it's a bigger picture.
I gotta meet this Sassy. I never met her.
She's very, very
are you
wonderful
scared
man.
My wife would have sex with her? Is that why you never brought her around?
No. She's beautiful.
Trust me, I'll kick her right out the door and be like, go. Right. And now you don't get to have sex with her.
No, I just want to watch.
See, he can do it.
I just want to draw her in watercolors while she's doing it. I like the art of it.
it's very reminiscent of Bonet. Yeah. T can do it. Like, he can watch dudes. Like, he and another guy, a stranger, can plug his old lady. Like, I can't.
I love that he can do it. I wish I had that side of me.
I don't have it.
Yeah.
You guys, I mean, because you'll choke and poke your old lady, right?
It's happened a couple times, yeah. I mean, you just got to get out of the mindset of, you know, it's like an out of body type thing almost if you really think about it. Because it's not real.
I know what you're saying. It's porn. It's just live porn. That's what my wife always says.
Will you do it? Will you do it though, T? If you don't get to bang a chick in return, will you just let a random guy do it and then you don't get anything for yourself?
No, we haven't.
Then what you're doing is pimping her.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. No, you only do it if you get paid.
You know, Johnny has a point because I would let my wife do it just because it makes her happy.
You let her hall pass when you were.
Yeah, because it makes her happy.
Right. But you see, we have.
But with just a couple, a couple.
Yeah. But it's just like anything else. I mean, it's like there's all kinds of different rules and stuff that you go by. You have the people are soft swap.
Yeah,
yeah. They stick that. And why is it? That's all different than.
If you say thruple, I'll kick you in the dick.
Say what?
Well, that's not part of
it. He uses a lot of terms that always make me feel weird. Like soft swap and thruple.
Well, it's a thing.
A thruple.
You know what makes me uncomfortable? Cheese box. That's what gets me uncomfortable. Nikki bought me a cheese box. She's like, you want this cheese box?
Like, you gotta go to the doctor. Like, you gotta, like you knew better than wear plastic pants in August. Like, stop.
those are the terms that are out there.
Yeah, there are the terms.
Thruple.
I don't know what thruple is. I never heard that.
That's where it's basically the new age thing where you got like two women and a guy living together and it's stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like husband, wife, and wife, or a husband, wife type deal, and that kind of stuff.
Do you understand now? You feel it. You feel what I'm feeling.
We call that cheese box.
Although you haven't been doing it lately.
No, just been a lot of stuff going on. Sabrina's been sick and that stuff. Has been cool. So it is just one of those.
Would you let your fighter friend? Would you let him do it?
No.
Would you let? You wouldn't. I mean, because it's too much, right?
Because he's my. Yeah, he's my. Your dog just ate one of my grapes. So it's okay to eat.
No, don't feed him grapes.
No, I don't feed him. He took it from me.
Yeah, he'll do that. But just don't feed him anymore. It's not good for him.
I would let the dog with my wife. Not
cheese.
Not,
he can have a cheese, but he can't.
No,
have
the
that.
Cheese is mine. Tell him to talk to Nikki.
He's. Let me tell you. Hey, Barge, come here.
Oh, it's Lou.
It's Lou.
Lou, you know better than that. She's too mean to ever.
Bargie's napping.
Anything bad happened. But yeah, grapes, grapes are racing.
I don't want my friends because then I think that would change the relationship. I would never be able to.
I found out, I'm not going to say who, but two of my friends have swapped with him and his wife.
Really?
And it creeped me out. I go, hey, stop it, man. I go, don't do that with my friends.
Yeah.
Don't do it with my friends. What's the rule now?
Don't do it with Johnny's friends.
Don't do it with Johnny's friends.
Listen.
I'm on a higher plane of sexuality involvedness than you are.
He is. He's very evolved.
You are. Can separate it, okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We all concentrated on certain parts of our lives. I apparently had to run this show, learn to read, and end a really responsible life. You evolved.
Sexually evolved.
Into offering your wife's vagina.
I found zen in sexuality.
In sexuality. I like that. That's
you have no idea what you have. There's nothing zen about you. Zen
is this black guy they know. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I like zen. What are you ever peaceful and centered, you creepy bastard?
I do stuff.
Yeah, that does. Stop with the shit.
No, I'm at peace. There's some areas I've come to acceptance and a peace, dark peace with.
A dark peace. All right. Crazy.
Hey, if you guys wanted to say hi to Corey Sandhagen, he said he couldn't be on the show, and I told him I'd get fired, so he's on the phone.
I'll put Corey on the show if he'll come in and beat T up for me.
He better come on the show.
Or just on T. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are you?
Johnny, we're on the air here, man. T and Nikki is here, and of course, Mitch Patel. So we've never met, so nice to meet you, friend.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys too.
Yeah, I was just telling him how I'm giving you a career, Corey.
And that you owe it all to him.
Yeah, I'm giving you a life.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mitch.
Is it true?
Yeah, I think that you're...
Did he teach you how to fight?
Go ahead.
Did he teach you how to fight? Did Mitch teach you how to fight? That's what he explained to us.
Oh, no, Mitch hasn't really taught me anything physically or life lessons.
Oh, come on.
I really don't know what we're doing together, but...
How did you two meet, Mitch?
He loves it. He's a big fan. He used to write me every week, and I was just a little scared. And then one day I saw him fight, and I was like, oh, I'm scared of this guy. So we hooked up, and we did the podcast. No, actually, I've always wanted to do a podcast. I love UFC. He's a Colorado guy. I'd seen him fight a couple times. We had a mutual friend. They introduced us. We clicked, and we decided to start doing it. And we've already done our second episode is coming out on Friday.
And Corey, now you'd never done anything besides fighting. Of course, you'd had, but you not an entertainer, not in the radio, not a speaker. But you were like, okay, I think I trust this guy. I'll do it.
Yeah, pretty much. I hadn't really done anything as far, like you said, like show business or entertainment or anything like that. And I actually remember specifically being in the room for our first podcast and be like, wow, I really have no idea what I'm doing at all. And then me and Mitch have kind of found our voices a little bit more as the episodes go on. But I haven't done anything about that. Fighting's been my life for like pretty much the last 10 years.
Well, and you're pretty young. I mean, you're what, 27 or 26? How old are you?
27.
So you've been doing this since you were 17. So really, as an adult, this is all that you have done in terms of it's a commitment. Every day is about fighting, becoming a better fight, learning how to fight, and just it's such a crazy thing because I have friends who do MMA and friends who fought and reffed and everything, even commentators for Bellator, Sean Wheelock, and it's just amazing to me this love that you have for it. I mean, do you think that you like the pain a little bit? I've had a couple of friends who seems like there's a certain joy they get when they're hit.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well. Can you repeat the?
Do you enjoy the pain? Is there a certain joy you get when you're hit?
No, definitely not when I'm getting hit. I do enjoy like
laying hands on people.
And I enjoy. Yeah, I also enjoy. I like the idea of me being able to figure out how to, beat someone up. You know, like make them able so that they can't keep going. Like I enjoy that part, but. No, I don't enjoy getting hit at all. I think that like anyone that kind of says that is a little bit of a weirdo.
Yeah, there are guys.
But hey, did your dad hit you? I've so many questions. Did your dad hit you? Like
His dad hit me.
Right. Were you beat up as a kid? Like, is there anything like the obvious, like the stereotype, like oh he probably got hurt as a kid or somebody was mean to him or he's got something to prove? Is there any of that at all?
No, so I know that that's kind of like the narrative for a lot
sure.
of guys.
Sure, yeah.
Man, it's always been more about sport. So, like, I learned really quickly through training in, like, the very early days that there's, like, a very technical aspect to everything.
Sure,
very
absolutely.
Conceptual aspect to everything. And I kind of just learned that really right off the bat. So to me, it's always been sport. It's never been like, oh, I'm making this person bleed or I'm actually hurting this person. It's always just been about like competitive sport. Like, how can I beat you and how are you going to try to beat me and how am I going to stop that? But I come from like kind of growing up playing sports my entire life. So it was, I never got in fights. I never, you know, like I was a pretty normal kid. And,
hold on.
I just see it as a sport.
Hold on. Just you got
to explain. Yeah, he's the more normal one of our relationship. I'm the one that's a lot more dysfunctional than him, and he's the fighter.
You've never been punched before. Like, here's the fear of everybody that hasn't been in a fight. The great fear of anybody who's never been in a fight is, will it hurt if they hit me? You know, that's what stops fighting, right? You're telling me you got into UFC having never been in just a normal kid fight.
Well, I mean, I wasn't, like, a fighting kid. Of course, I got in my, like, fights and stuff, but it wasn't like that. Like, I wasn't known for being, like, this tough. Like, man, I was, like, I think I went into high school at, like, 4'8" or something. Like, I wasn't a big kid, so even if I had gotten in some fights,
I
wasn't going to be winning those fights. Yeah, so, but no, I had definitely gotten into my fights, my fair share of fights, but I was never, like, the tough kid that was trying to like engage and fight.
Were you natural? Were you a natural fighter? Were you, I mean, did you feel like you had a real talent for it and that's what drew you into MMA?
I think that there's a different type of athlete that you have to be in MMA. And I think that I fit that bill pretty good. Like specifically, I think you have to be a little bit more coordinated than most athletes. And obviously reflexes are of top priority. So I know that I have kind of those two things. As far as being like a very strong guy, I'm not going to be the strongest guy that I fight probably. I'm pretty quick on my feet and stuff. So I have some athletic abilities that transfer over really well to MMA that maybe wouldn't transfer over well to being like a linebacker in the NFL or something. But, it's a bit of a different animal, you know, like you kind of have to have really good reflexes and you have to have really good coordination.
It's a hard way to make a living. It's amazing to me. It really is.
Yeah, and he's at the top, man. He's like the number four.
Can you make money in bantamweight? Like, because I know
he makes more money than I do these days.
Yeah, but I mean, are you going to have to jump up in weight class eventually to make bigger money, or does bantam pay as much as a heavy?
No, definitely heavyweights are the guys that are making the most money. I don't think that the disparity is too much. I think that it's fairly fair amongst all of the weight classes. But no, heavyweights are definitely the highest paid guys, just because, I mean, grown men don't really like watching 135-pound men fight sometimes.
Listen, here's what, you know what they don't like? They don't like the fact that a 135-pound guy can lay them the F out and smoke them. That's really what it is.
Yeah,
you know, I look at that.
Well,
and
that's also true.
Go ahead.
And yeah, that's also true. And me and Mitch talk all the time about how everyone thinks that they can fight. So it's kind of this little thing where it's like, yeah, sure, this guy might be 5'6" and 135 pounds, but also, if you put him in an empty room with you, like, you're definitely the one that's
going to exit
in that room, you know?
What a terrible day, because you're like, oh, look at that 135-pound guy in regular clothes, like regular street clothes. You know, you're standing there in your Dan and Shade t-shirt, and and the beer gets spilled. Some guy calls you a pussy and goes, go get me a beer, 135-pound guy. And then it's just, it's all bad. Like, everything after that is just a blur of urine and crying.
And by the way, that's why no heavyweights have agreed to do the podcast with me. I had to get a bantamweight to finally agree.
Dude, I think it's great. Can you now tell me, because what does Conor McGregor fight at?
Fights at like three different weights, right?
His fight this weekend, he's fighting at 170, but he actually debuted in the UFC at 145, and then he's fought 55, I think, a couple times. But this one this weekend is going to be at 170.
If you're just joining the show, Corey Sandhagen is with us, currently ranking number 4 in UFC bantamweight, 12-1, out of Colorado. So you guys have got a podcast. So Mitch Fatale, and I think it's a great dichotomy here. You guys, you're different people. Although I can see the connection where you're both very polite and very nice.
Yeah, we're actually kind of sweet guys. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But you're not a fighter. You're a comedian. You get up in front of people. You are a born athlete and competitor, clearly, Corey. And are you married? You have a girlfriend? What's your story?
Yeah, so I guess my daily life is, right now I'm hitting like 2 or 3 practices a day. I'm able to do that comfortably being in the UFC now. A little bit, I still work a separate job. I work at a facility called Mount St. Vincent's, which is just a residential treatment facility for kids that have some history of trauma, so usually some type of abuse.
Oh, God damn it. So now he's a wonderful guy.
Well, that's how we met. I was at the home, and he took me in.
But you, here's the thing. So now, hold on, here's the story. And anybody, especially UFC, if they don't see this, if Dana White doesn't see this, like, you see a guy like Corey who works with kids who've been traumatized.
He's amazing, yeah.
You take that story and you see him go beat some ass. Jesus Christ, man, that's a movie.
That's a story.
Yes.
Yeah.
What made you want to work with those kids? What brought you there?
Yeah, well, so I got signed to the UFC, I think, 2 years ago. So I'm 27 now. So I was out of college for about 3 years. I mean, obviously needing to, like, find some way to, like, pay my bills and take care of myself. So I went to CU Boulder for psychology. It was kind of the idea of maybe going the social worker route. But I knew that I could do something with fighting. So Mount St. Vincent's had a position where you could essentially make your own hours and however many you wanted to work a week. So that worked out really well, and then I'm able to still keep that job. I obviously don't do it as much as I used to, where before I was working maybe 30, 35 hours a week. Now I only go in once a week, and kind of just because I want it to still be a part of my life, still feel like I'm giving back a little bit.
Life is so not fair.
My city. But yeah, that was kind of the backup plan, I guess you could say, in my head, is I want to do social work, and I was going to ride out fighting until it was a dead end, and then I was going to go social worker route. So,
God, of course you were, yeah. Mother Teresa. You, I mean, because this is just not a fair. This is not a fair world I'm living in, man. He's young, good-looking kid, UFC champion fighter.
I think I'm a little better looking than him, Johnny. But that's not really. It's not a competition. But but I think what's really crazy is what I love about the podcast is. You would think the fighter would be the nutty guy, yeah. And I'm the anxious one, and he just relaxes, and he asks his cool questions, and the people love him, and I'm just all frenetic and anxious, and yeah. I'm the one with more dysfunction.
That's how I feel. I'm like, and then imagine being the third wheel in this rejectable car. Like, you're super Mitch Fatale, amazing.
Thank you.
Incredible life, and one of the greatest comedians out working today, and then you get this fighter, and then I'm the, hey, you want to talk to the disc jockey in Kansas City? I'm like, God damn it, man.
Dude, you're the king of Kansas City, though.
Again, tallest pygmy, my friend. It's not that we're that good. They're just so goddamn bad.
Corey, if you look up Johnny Dare, he looks like he could be a fighter. He's a pretty big dude.
Well, and let me tell you this. I've had my ass kicked quite a few times, Corey.
All right, I'll make sure to check you out. I'll see if you.
Don't hit me. Let me tell you, I know Corey, and I learned this the hard way years ago. I got into an altercation with a guy who was being a drunk a-hole, but I neglected to notice the cauliflower ears.
Yep, that's a sign.
And he, God bless him for being an honorable guy. I never saw him pull back or hit me. I saw a flash of white, sat down straight-legged on this bar. Straight-legged. Like, bink!
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and I looked up, and he was as calm as a bomb. And he was, and I go, let me get you a beer. I just get up, and I just, but you, all of a sudden, you could see him clearly. You're like, his hands, his ears, the nose, like the whole bit. And you're like, man, I'm glad that started and ended right then and didn't go any further, because it was just going to be one of those terrible beatings. And I assure you, if you're a young male and you think you like to do these things, you better look at another man's ears before you pick that fight, because he's seen a couple goddamn things.
I mean, I would just say in general, don't try to fight anyone with deformity, because they don't have as much to lose as you do.
I was gonna say, Corey, that I told them on the air that I said to you, so if I'm with my son and someone comes over and gives me any problems, what should I do? And you go, you should run away.
That's
the truth. That is what I said.
Being as you're 135 pounds, and if you don't know your background, you're not, to the visual, physically intimidating. Have you dated a girl where, like, the ex-boyfriend shows up and he's like, who is this guy? And you had to, and it had gotten weird?
No, I stay away from those types of girls, man.
Well, every girl has an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, not all of them have crazy ex-boyfriends. Yeah.
Well, can you imagine? You think you're a tough guy, yeah. And you're like, oh, that's who you're dating now? And maybe he's 20 pounds heavier, a little bit taller, and he's like, look, here, pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, what a terrible, again, a terrible
But
day.
Again, if you meet Corey, he's one of the most peaceful guys. He doesn't send off any kind of vibe
of
at all. Like,
tough guys don't have to.
We have a guy coming in. You talked about Punch. We have a guy coming in to do our podcast on Sunday named Brandon Gertz. He's a Bellator guy. And he actually, Corey, I actually read up on him yesterday. He said he likes getting hit.
Who really do like it. Like, they'll get hit. I used to have this friend, Ernie, and he was, his old man was, he had a tough bring up Cabrini Green type, you know,
yeah.
Chicago stuff, like hard. And he'd get hit and you'd see him smile. And like you'd almost see his D get hard. Like, yeah. he was, and I was like, oh, it's going to be a long goddamn night now.
Yeah, that's
man.
A scary guy.
Yeah. And not a big guy, but man, there was something in his psyche. He enjoyed it. There was some kind of.
Yeah, I mean, everyone does it for different reasons. Like Mitch said, Gertz on, or Brandon Gertz on Sunday is, I mean, you can see in his style, he just like fights like a maniac, man. And then you have kind of someone a little bit more like Curtis, who we have coming out, tomorrow.
Friday.
And, kind of just talking about like how he's completely cool with just being known as the wrestler guy in MMA and just beating guys with wrestling and being super confident in that. And it's just, just like how people are a lot different, fighters are a lot different too.
Actually, what's interesting is Curtis, our guest, we're releasing Curtis's episode. He actually admitted to us on the podcast. He didn't even like fighting. He just does it for the money. He's like, I'm just good at it. And they give me money for
it. Well, I can understand that. Look, you're going to get hit in the face. Like, I'm at an age now with myself. Like, I'm not afraid of not a guy like Corey I'm afraid of. But a normal human being, like another regular guy, I'm like, I've been punched in the face a bunch.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt, but not that bad.
Yeah.
But the point is, I don't like getting punched in the face. So what am I going to win here? Even if whatever you want to call a winner and a loser in this physical confrontation, I'm probably going to get punched a few times. I'm going to get cut up. And then what did I win? You know, if someone's life isn't in danger, if someone I love isn't being harmed, what am I doing? I'm going out there to prove something?
Yeah.
Hell no, man.
Corey gets a $50,000 bonus for that.
Yeah, you know, that's it. That's what I mean. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Are there some guys, though, that's the time when they can actually feel? Like, that's when they like it, when they get excited? That's like...
Maybe.
Like getting off on the pain?
I'm sorry, what was the question? I couldn't hear you.
Nikki was asking you if do you think some guys just get off on the pain? Like, that's when they can emotionally feel when they're being hurt. Like, almost like a cutter.
Oh, like, yeah, mm-hmm. Cutter. Yeah. That would be me.
I mean, I could see that. I think that in order to be at the highest level, you can't just do it because you're getting some, like, weird satisfaction.
Right, yeah, it can't be a fetish.
That's not going to make you any good, right?
But
at the lower levels, I mean, at local shows and stuff where you have guys that can pretty much just sign up maybe a week before and get all their paperwork done with the commissions and stuff and go out and fight, you could tell that they're kind of just fighting maybe because they need just to let go of some energy or
their D-bags
going on inside them. But no, man, I mean, that's only going to take you so far. You're only going to do that a couple times and be like, oh, shit, I actually have to learn how to do all of this stuff. And that's going to be different.
And this is another thing I've noticed, having friends that work for Bellator and other friends who've done refereeing and different things. There's a certain kind of groupie that comes along with MMA, and
it's called Mitch Fatale.
Yeah, right. But they're so primal, right? Have you been to these fights? Have you seen those girls?
Yeah.
There's something about being a warrior and the ultimate alpha male in that cage, and they see it, and there's a physical response. You can see girls, like, there's a certain kind of girl that is drawn to that sexually and completely.
I think. I think they're drawn to it because they know that. Go ahead, Cor.
Say what?
No, I was saying I think that a lot of those women are attracted to that because they just feel that they can feel safe with that person. That nothing's going to happen.
I think it's just the way
that person can protect them.
Hunter gatherers and then nurturers and maternal alleles, and it's just something in our DNA that draws women to that guy. And I'm like. But it's I've watched it and been like, man, that's pretty weird. And they're and like animalistic and it's preening outside the gate. Like, are you going to notice me? Notice me? Like a rock concert, except based in violence.
Yeah, there's definitely some hot groupies at the we had our first guest is Drew Dober. Look him up. He looks like a model.
Are you guys going to get any girls on?
Yeah, we had one girl, and we're trying to get Rose Namajunas now.
No, don't fight each other.
Like female comedians?
I don't know. Will it be all fighters?
It's either fighters or comedians every week.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all it is.
You should see if you could fight. You should fight, Mitch. You could fight Glazer, Nikki Glazer.
Oh, I'd fight her. I could.
But she's crazy.
Yeah, I could take her down.
Crazy. I don't know.
You're
physically, you're strong.
I'd be trained by Curtis. I could take her down with a single leg.
She's got something. She's fantastic. You know, she's from Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to get her on our show, Corey. She's awesome.
She is amazing.
Oh, give her a plug for us. Tell her she should come on our show.
Absolutely. Well, listen. Corey, I know that it's a sketchy phone line, so I apologize for that. I do want to have you back on the show, and when's your next fight, Corey?
I'm not sure right now. The timeline is looking like April, but it could be as late as May. Apparently, the division's kind of in a little bit of a weird spot with where everyone's at, but I would assume it wouldn't be too hard to get some type of match in April. Like, as you start to kind of get higher on the ranks, it kind of gets a little bit more difficult because there's only a few guys that make sense for you to fight in order to get closer to a championship. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I kind of have to be a little bit more patient. But, it should be April or May.
Well, if you cross the country, you have to come through Kansas City from Denver, basically. So, you know, make sure Mitch gives you our numbers. And then, you know, you need a place to crash. You need want to grab some dinner or beer, man. I'm always up for it. You're always welcome here. Your friend, your family.
Oh, cool. That's awesome, man. I appreciate that.
All right, Corey. Plus, I want to, you know, bring you around, and then you can maybe beat people up for me.
Yeah, he'll do that for you.
That'd be super fun.
You have to give us a lot of plugs for that, though. Yeah.
You kidding me? All day long, my friend. I got a whole office full of middle management I need you to handle.
And we have our heavyweight debut with Curtis Blaydes tomorrow, Friday, dropping. Excellent. Just putting that out there.
And so, how can you find the podcast?
Just go to our Instagram, which is PunchlinesPod. At Instagram, you know, it's the @PunchlinesPod, and then the links are there to sign up and subscribe for all that.
And let me make sure that we've got it up on our Facebook real quick here. Hold on one second.
Thanks, dude.
I got to recheck this just to make sure. Otherwise, I'm going to have you come into town and beat up on Greg. Oh, there it is right there. MitchPatel.com and Instagram.com/PunchlinePod. There it is.
Awesome.
All right, Corey, anytime. You're welcome here.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. Apologize about that. That's an awful phone line. I don't know.
It worked, though. It worked.
You should have him teach you some fighting, just because it's a cool thing to do.
I don't care about me anymore. I want him to teach my son, because I know my son's going to be small, because I'm only 5'5". My wife's 5'2", so my son probably will be, if we're lucky, 5'8", because she didn't smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day like my mom did.
Yeah, right. My mom smoked like she was pregnant. So, there's a picture of her with an ashtray on her stomach.
My mom too. Yeah. So,
but you should learn. Just from a point of, I think I'm not to fight people. You're not going to fight people anymore, and I want to fight people.
I don't want to fight anybody.
But there is a joy in understanding how to,
protect yourself.
And use your left hand. Have you ever worked a heavy bag or anything? You realize when you first start, your left hand is almost not even part of your body anymore if you're a right-handed person.
Really?
Yeah, you'll start, you're like, this hand will jab and cut and do anything, and this you're like it really takes a while before you have any cuts.
I think I'll start training with him. I mean, he's friends with me. We're friends now. So,
For fun. I mean, you don't have to get hit or fight anybody, but it is cool to be able to know how to do that. I think, like anything else, it's just cool. And if you're into it, guess what? Your kid's going to get into it.
That's what I want to do. I said if I take wrestling, he'll take it with me, or jiu-jitsu, and we'll have Corey teach us. So, yeah, pretty cool, right?
But don't come in here and beat me up or anything. That'd be awful, Mitch.
Behave yourself. Give me a cheese box every now and then. Nikki knows where her bread is buttered. She got me a cheese box. She's getting in early.
Don't you miss it. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, 103rd and State Line, Comedy Club of Kansas City. go see for yourself the legend that is Mitch Fattell, man. That's going to be...
Thanks, guys.
And don't forget, guys, let me pimp it all. Go to MitchFattell.com, F-A-T-E-L.com, or at Instagram.com, PunchlinesPod. You can get all the information, hear all of the podcasts, but don't miss the shows this weekend. One tonight, two tomorrow night, two Saturday night.
Yeah, right? My act is really better, so I promise you a lot of laughs.
It's going to be fantastic, Mitch. You kidding me?
Thanks, guys.
It's good to see you.
God, I love coming in the show. Can I just stay here all day? Can I stay here so tomorrow when you come in, I'm already here?
Yeah, come waiting. On in. Just stay here. Moose is up next, and Nivens, you'll love him. One of those guys will have weed for you. It'll be a whole
just
thing,
hang out. All right, I like it.
It's all right, let me get some commercials. Stay right there. Good to see you, my friend.
Thanks, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.